You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are starting a brand new series. Very excited about it. CCPT Purism. And I'll explain why we're doing this in a second. But my heart is really in tune right now with what's going on in play therapy. And the more that I travel, the more that I speak, the more that I coach therapists, the more that I interact with therapists on the collective and hear from podcast listeners and emails, I am seeing again and again that people want to be CCPT, or they profess to be CCPT, or they think that they're CCPT, and they're not. And so that breaks my heart, number one. Number two, I need to do something about it. So see a problem, don't complain, do something. So that's my motto. Here we are. And this CCPT Purism series, it's going to be quite long, kind of along the lines of maybe the summer school series last summer. And here's why. We have to go back to the foundations. We will never fully grasp what CCPT is all about, and also how to be a purist in the model, if we don't understand where it came from and how it evolved and why adherence matters. And I've talked about a lot of this stuff many times. So you might go, oh gosh, okay, here we go. We're going to go through the same stuff again. No, this is into the depth of the caves now. We were spelunking at the top before. Now we're going as deep as the cave is deep, because I feel like this is the missing link. And if I can do anything about it, I'm going to try. So this is what we're going to do. However, I want to give a little intro to this. One of my former coaching participants and members in one of, she's a member in the collective. She emailed me a happy birthday email and then said, I want to share a quick reflection from my heart. She gave me permission to share this. And I want you to hear what she is noticing, what she's observing, and how she connects to it. Because I think this is really another example of what this series is all about. It's about not really truly being CCPT in not only application, but also in awareness and understanding, and the lack of adherence, and her experience specifically when she went all in, what that meant for her and how it changed her perspective. So Jenna, thank you for letting me share this. So let me read parts of her email, and then we will dive into the first episode of the CCPT Purism series. So, as I've been active on the collective and on the calls, I've found myself shocked at what therapists are shocked about when it comes to children. I can always tell when there's a new member that is potentially coming from directive origins. I understand their thought process. They're the ones who are usually shocked by behaviors that are childlike. Spitting, aggression, potty words, and so on. The amount of offendedness sometimes makes me giggle or makes me frustrated. And I say this with love and not judgment because, and she wrote in caps, I was once them. There is this one child in particular that I look back on and I cringe at the thought of the way that I conducted, quote, therapy with her. Her behavior used to shock me. I used to think, and dare I say, speak words like manipulative when I would describe her. She was 5 years old. I had all the directives, worksheets, behavior exercises, etc., and she never got better. It only got worse in my therapy office. No surprise to me now, she was classic power and control. And my directives and expectations on how therapy is supposed to look was battling right up against her. She never got better, and I eventually went on maternity leave for my first child and was, quote, very happy to refer her out. You know what the crazy part is? I would die to have her back in my office. Want to know why? in caps, because her behaviors weren't even that bad. And what was I offended about? She was five. Where did I learn to feel this way about children, never having experience working with them until I became a therapist? I can only point to it had to be the underlying message from all the other directive therapies that I imposed, quote, you need to be, think, and feel this way, or I'm not doing a good enough job, end quote. The kids I extend love and acceptance to now are above and beyond in behaviors than she ever was. And you want to know what's even crazier? For me to understand that little girl now took me dropping the directives and becoming non-directive. I know you know this isn't actually crazy, but you and I both know that 80% of the play therapists out there think that this little girl could never be helped by being non-directive. The wonderful part is, I know with all my being that I could have helped that little girl if I was CCPT. One part of me kicks myself for not discovering CCPT sooner, but the other part of me is grateful because I now know, without a shadow of a doubt, that CCPT doesn't need to be questioned or doubted. I have experience and evidence to prove it. And I could tell you story after story after story where therapists have shared that exact same sentiment with me. I used to do this, think this, say this, act this, be this. And I wish I could go back. And man, if I knew now, if I knew then what I knew now. And gosh, if I could do that over again. And what I wouldn't give to have that client in my playroom again. Why? Because once you know, you know. And once you see it, you see it. And once you are CCPT, you never go back. So Jenna, thank you so much for letting me share that. And I hope that that connects with you. I hope that you understand the value of deeply grasping what this is all about. And I don't think that's possible unless we go back to the beginning and back to the foundations. To be fully a CCPT purist, you have to understand it at the very depths of the model. So that's what this series is all about. Alrighty, so let's dive in. Today, we are going to go back to Rogers. Now, for those of you that have been around the block with me, probably hundreds of times, some of you dozens, some of you single digits, you will not be surprised that I'm going back to Rogers. If you are new to the podcast, new to CCPT, new to this whole working with kids thing, you may not have any construct of Carl Rogers being tied to child-centered play therapy. But regardless, we're going to look at this a little bit more intentionally, because if we don't go there first, the rest of this falls apart. So what we need to understand about Rogers' life and his work is that he produced a revolutionary shift in therapy. And here's what I mean by that. You had psychoanalytic theories previous to Rogers, and you had behaviorism theories previous to Rogers. And for those of you that don't remember theories class in grad school, we're talking about Freud and Skinner and Watson and Pavlov, and you know, the list goes on. So we think back to those theories. We think back to what was being put out into the world about psychology and about psychotherapy. And if we go back to psychoanalytic theories first, that is 100% driven by unconscious mind driving all behavior. Okay? Which means that therapy was designed to be interpretive. The therapist's only job was to analyze what was going on. And therefore, change was seen as dependent on the therapist's insight rather than the client's awareness. If we don't get this, y'all, I could just stop this series right now. Enlarge this to CCPT as I'm processing this with you. In the psychoanalytic model, change was seen as dependent on the therapist's insight and interpretations, meaning a client could not, quote, get better without the therapist. And everything hinged back to the therapist's ability to figure out what was happening and to tell the person what to do and to give the person interpretation. Okay, so let's think about the directive nature of that. Now, Rogers comes onto the scene and says, this is actually a conscious process. It's not unconscious. It's conscious because every human wants to self-actualize. This was revolutionary because it essentially said clients can heal themselves. They will consciously choose to become a better version of themselves with the right conditions. Okay. So people are naturally inclined toward growth and healing with the right environment. He puts that into the world. Therapy should focus on the future, not just the past. That was a concept no one had ever considered before. And more importantly, change happens internally within the client, not because the therapist is helping, suggesting, interpreting, analyzing, whatever. Change happens internally within the client. This was monumental when Rogers puts this out. And here's why this matters. Remember, this is about child-centered play therapy, even though we're going all the way back. So enlarge this, liken this to CCPT. The shift that took place was essentially from therapist authority to client autonomy. Let that land for a second. Rogers took away the idea that the therapist had the authority for a client's healing journey and returned that back to the client and gave the client their own autonomy. I'm gonna go on a tangent for a second, but I promise it's relevant. Every single time a play therapist professing to be CCPT goes rogue and does something that is not adherent to CCPT, asks a question, brings up a discussion topic, does an activity, brings in a worksheet, reads a child a book, brings mom into the session for the last 15 minutes, whatever the scenario is, every time a play therapist that professes to be CCPT does that, they're basically saying, I, as the therapist, have the authority to decide what's going to happen for you. Gosh, how do we not get this? This makes me lose sleep at night. That's not true. I actually sleep really well. But if something were to keep me up, this would be it. We need to provide kids with the ability to have autonomy over their own healing. How could we ever think that we know better than them? What a selfish, self-centered, pontificating view of the world that I'm going to tell you what you need to do to heal, and it's going to be reliant on my knowledge and my expertise and my insight. Gosh, may we never go into a playroom with that attitude. Rogers said the therapist no longer has the authority. The client needs autonomy. And here's the thing. That means, in the grand scheme of things, that therapists are never superior to clients. People already possess the ability to solve their own problems. Kids already know their issues. They already know what they're struggling with. They just need the environment and the relationship, and they'll sort it out. So that in and of itself should change behavior in a playroom. That in and of itself should change philosophy about what play therapy is all about. But there's more. Okay. So think about behaviorism now. That was the psychoanalytic shift. Okay. We also have behaviorism in play at this time. So it's very fascinating to think about external control versus internal growth, right? Because think about behaviorism. You had Skinner, which for those of you that may not recall this, operant conditioning, right? You had Pavlov, classical conditioning. Okay, here's the thing. It was focused entirely on observable behavior. So therefore, change came from reinforcement or punishment and conditioning. And essentially, the environment controlled behavior. And I hope that makes sense. You have to think back to ringing the bell and the dog salivating and all that. Okay, so the environment was a factor, reinforcement and punishment and conditioning. All of that influenced change, according to the behaviorists. Rogers comes in and says, if you focus on external control, that doesn't allow the client to have any measure of their own healing. It is an internal self-discovery process. And that doesn't allow for the inner world to be explored. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What are your perceptions? Your inner world matters when you're healing and when you're sorting through stuff. It's not just environmental. It's not just conditioned. And you can't treat people like robots or machines. So we got away from the external control of behaviorism. And Rogers said, look, this is about internal self-discovery. And this is where it all lands for the behaviorism shift. Behaviorists saw therapy as a method to fix behavior. Kids don't need to be fixed. They never have, they never will. They're not broken, they're not damaged. They don't need to be fixed. And behaviorists said therapy is just a method to fix behavior. And we do that by shaping responses through rewards, punishments, and conditioning. That is horrifying. Rogers said, let's foster a relationship that allows for growth. And then a client will explore their own experiences. They'll process their own internal self-discovery. So that is how Rogers pioneered a whole new construct of what therapy was, what created positive outcomes, what shifts needed to take place in our thinking, in our belief system, in our structure. It flew in the face of everything that had already been established in psychology and in psychotherapy. All right, so now, instead of here's where we're going to look at last four things before we wrap up for today. There are four main aspects of the person-centered approach, but I want to make sure that this ties in to the shift from psychoanalytic and behaviorism into person-centered. Instead of focusing on external control, which was the behaviorists, and instead of focusing on hidden, unconscious conflict, which was the psychoanalytic camp, Rogers conceived of a model that focused on empowerment, self-exploration, and non-directive approach. Let me say that again. Empowerment, self-exploration, and non-directive approach. It was like nothing anyone had ever seen. And here are the key aspects that he came up with as a result. The self-actualizing tendency. He believed that every human being, this is true of kids, every human being has an inborn drive toward growth and self-improvement. Every single being is wired to become a better version of themselves. So that's the first concept. Second, unconditional positive regard. We're at core conditions. A person is able to thrive when they feel completely accepted without conditions. Think about how a person feels in a psychoanalytic session. Therapist has all the control, all the knowledge, all the awareness, all the power, and I'm beholden to you because if you can't figure this out, I'm certainly not going to be able to figure this out. What learned helplessness that creates? Good grief. Now, let's think about it in terms of behaviorism. The environment dictates it, and you're either going to get punished or you're going to have reinforcement, and we're going to condition you to fix your behaviors. You have no control over that either. So Roger says, a person can thrive when they feel completely accepted without conditions. It's revolutionary. Third, self-concept. People struggle if their self-concept is distorted. So a huge component of person-centered is helping people increase their self-concept. And then the fourth aspect was that it was non-directive. The therapist does not have to lead. They don't have to teach. They don't have to instruct. They don't have to interpret. Here's what a person-centered therapist does. And again, enlarge this to CCPT. This is what a person-centered therapist does. Provides a space for the client to discover their own insights. If we trust that kids know what they're struggling with, we also trust that they will self-actualize. We trust that if we provide a space, they'll discover the insight that they need. So I hope that this is helping you to understand that because he said we believe in self-directed growth, that pioneered the way for child-centered play therapy. And above all, we talk about this all the time, and I will talk about it again because it matters. The relationship is the healing factor. Growth happens through a warm and empathic and accepting therapeutic relationship. Let me be really clear, not through directives or techniques or agenda or conditioning or fixing or interpretation. Warm, empathic, accepting therapeutic relationship. That's the healing factor. So as we move into this series over the next, I don't know, 7, 8 or so weeks, I hope that this helps you not only feel grounded, but also really understand the principles that undergird everything that we do. It's easy to learn CCPT skills and think that we have it mastered, but intent is always more important than action. So we can act CCPT. If the intention doesn't match, if the depth of understanding isn't there, it will fall flat. So my hope is that this series is really going to encourage us. It's going to keep us adherent. It's going to give us the information that we need so that we are aware of the why. The why matters. Hashtag. All right. I love y'all. Thanks for hanging out with me. Oh, okay. You have a very short amount of time. If you are going to be at the Virginia APT conference or you're within driving distance of Richmond on Friday night, you have like 2 days to RSVP for this meetup. So if you are a procrastinator, you better get on this. We're running out of time. I need to give a head count. There's all kinds of factors in play here. So please make sure that you click the meetup link in the show notes so that you can get RSVP'd for that. For those of you that have already registered, I'm so excited to see you. And for all of the rest of you that are not going to be in Virginia, you know how much I love you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.